Hello, friends, and good morning. What a glorious day this is for our state and all Nashvillians. Let's hear it. It's almost impossible to quantify just how big this moment is and what happened yesterday to have the NFL vote us in and welcome. Nashville is one of the rare cities in America to ever host the big game.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor of Titan Size, publisher of NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, that was Jim Nantz speaking at a press conference the city of Nashville held on Wednesday morning to announce what is now official after yesterday's vote at the NFL owners meetings. Nashville will host the Super Bowl in 2030, the 2029 season. Exciting times for the city. How's it going today, my friend?
I'm doing well, doing well. Happy for the city of Nashville. Happy for the Tennessee Titans franchise. All parties involved deserve this. You know, I truly feel that Nashville is one of the great American cities. It's one of the, I'd even go as far to call it, it's one of the entertainment hubs, you know, of the country in terms of obviously country music capital of the world. The city keeps transforming every single year, it feels like, to welcome more and more tourism. I mean, it's become one of the tourist hotspots of the country, no doubt about that, right? And I've been to Nashville on several occasions, and I always enjoy my time there. Dying to get back. They deserve this. They really do. In fact, I'll go as far, it might be a little early in the show to say this, but I'll go as far to say that I don't expect this to be the only Super Bowl Nashville gets and the new Titan and new Nissan Stadium hosts. I think, you know, you look at like the Vegas Stadium, Santa Clara, San Francisco, like there's sort of a rotation of Super Bowl cities in the National Football League. And there are a bunch of cities that will never get one, right? I expect Nashville to become one of those rotational cities, like a Las Vegas, that will host the Super Bowl on multiple occasions now that they are building a venue in new Nissan Stadium that is absolutely worthy of hosting a Super Bowl. Nashville was already a Super Bowl-worthy city, but I don't think the current iteration of Nissan Stadium was quite a Super Bowl-worthy stadium. No. The new one is without a doubt going to be that, and that's why I think this is going to be a routine thing, having the Super Bowl in Nashville.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible thing that the city has pulled off here. Before we talk more about that, I want to tell you guys we are going to dive into answering a question. Can the Titans make it to this Super Bowl? Is it realistic to expect a team coming off back-to-back 3-14 seasons that just fired its head coach that in 4 years from now, they could be a team that makes it to the big game? We're going to look at the history of teams with a fifth-year quarterback and a fourth-year head coach, what their seasons looked like 5 years prior, and whether or not those teams made it to the big game. And the list is longer than you think. There is a historical precedent for this. So we'll dive into that in a second. But let's talk more about the city of Nashville and what this means for them and what this means for, you know, I think the shout out I want to give here is for Amy Adams Strunk, the owner of the Titans, who has obviously had some questionable, if not downright bad moments as the owner of the Titans, especially when it comes to the hiring in the front office and the coaching position over the last 4 years or so. A lot of turmoil, a lot of dysfunction, the people who cover the league call it. But she has done a few things that I think are worth acknowledging on the business side, on the growth of the city and the team side. You look at the draft that was in Nashville in 2019. Amy Adams Strunk led the charge on getting that draft in Nashville, and it was a massive success. I'd say, you know, I've been to 3 or 4 drafts. I can't remember how many I've been to. I've been to 3 or 4 drafts. I've watched every single one on TV since I was a small child. I can't remember any of them surpassing Nashville in terms of what the buzz in the city was like, the size of the crowd that just absolutely dominated Broadway. And there's no doubt in my mind that the success of that event in 2019, it has a direct correlation to this city landing the Super Bowl in 2030. And that's all credit to Amy Adams Strunk. The idea to even build a new stadium, which, again, you're not hosting a Super Bowl, as you said, in the current Nissan Stadium. You're not getting a Super Bowl. But the foresight to say, we build this other stadium this new stadium that meets the requirements the NFL has for hosting the big game. And we're going to get it because we've already shown that the city can accommodate a massive party. And that's sort of what I think of Nashville, especially downtown, is like, it is a massive party to just to be in Nashville and to have these massive tentpole events attached to it just ups the stakes so much. Amy Adams-Strunk has also invested a ton of money into the team facilities and the training, like the bubble, all the things that have come along since she took over as the Titans owner, I think in what, 2015, like the results on the field right now, the last 2-3 years may not be what we want to see. And the, you know, the constant turnover in the front office and the coach, head coach, also obviously not what we want to see. But she has done a lot of good things, and I don't think the lack of success on the field should take her down. I don't think we should forget about what she's done well just because the team has been bad. And I also think you have to credit her for continuing to try, to continue to realize, like, man, that guy we hired actually isn't very good. We got to get rid of him and get somebody else in here. And I mean, I don't want to excuse her too much because it's like, hire better people, but not sinking years into people that you know aren't going to be the ones is also credit to, you know, undoing a mistake.
I'm somewhere in the middle on this, and I think I'll tell you why. Well, number one, like having written Titans of the South, it's astounding what that city of Nashville was like when the team first got there compared to what it is now. I mean, it really felt like kind of small town country, right? Like in the mid-90s. And it's transformed into one of the entertainment hubs of the nation, one of the liveliest cities on earth, I think I'd go as far to call it. So she's done a lot of good things, but I think she's also, you know, somewhat benefited and somewhat fortunate and lucky to have a team in Nashville, right? Like there's so many opportunities that come with that.
That's fair.
I think you'd have to be somewhat totally inept to kind of mess up having a team in a city like Nashville. But certainly, I mean, building this new stadium, she deserves a ton of credit for it. She's the owner of the team, right? None of that gets done without the owner of the team, right? And by all accounts, the thing is going to be absolutely stunning. I can't wait to see it myself. Knock on wood, I plan on being there the first year that it opens. I'm already planning ahead. I'm definitely going to Nashville again, knock on wood here in 2027 when that stadium opens, because there's no way I'm missing that in year one. Maybe we can do a live MCA. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe Graver and I will talk about aligning a trip to Nashville in 2027. But and then of course, the NFL draft. I thought the NFL draft in Nashville is one of the best NFL drafts ever. And it might actually be number one for me. It's just an unbelievable event thrown in that phenomenal city. I think we should get into today's topic of the episode, though. What are the chances the Titans could play in the Super Bowl? As much as we all enjoy the thought of Nashville hosting a Super Bowl, doesn't do as much for me if the Titans aren't playing in it. That's the number one goal. You want the Titans to be there. Graver's done an unbelievable amount of research this morning into this topic. I essentially was writing all morning, and he ran with this. And he provided me with the data, and it's some super interesting results when you take a deep dive into the numbers. I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. We know that the Rams made it to the Super Bowl in 2021 season in February 2022 at SoFi Stadium. They got to do it. They got to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. And speaking of, you mentioned earlier, team like cities in the rotation or whatever, SoFi is hosting the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
This coming 2026 season. So
Englewood, twice Vegas, in Nashville, baby.
Right. Twice in 5 years, the Rams get it. Could we be looking at a 2030 and a 2035 potentially Super Bowl in Nashville? Or does the rotation have to expand now because there's another city involved? Is it 2036 maybe the Titans get another Super Bowl? But regardless, the idea that your team could play in the Super Bowl in your home stadium is pretty enticing. It's pretty cool. Doesn't happen very often. Again, we did see the Rams do it a few seasons ago, and they won, which is also a big deal because a lot of teams make it to the big game, obviously. Only half the teams that have made it to the big game actually won the big game.
Wow. Big math over here. Look at that.
Let's look at, I don't know if that's technically true, because if you think about like one, like the Patriots won 6, right?
Right.
So did they, like, you can't say that only half that, like, and it depends on how you view like the team. Is it that season's, but whatever, Justin.
Justin Graver, great producer, very mediocre math guy.
Yeah, and I just get in the weeds on. Okay, so anyway, we're looking at quarterbacks who in their fifth season made it to a Super Bowl. That's where Cam Ward will be in the 2029 season and the 2030 Super Bowl.
He'll be on the 50-year option. He'll be on his 50. He'll be on the 50-year contract option.
No, he won't. He'll have signed a lucrative, massive, mega extension.
Don't you still be on the option though? It's team friendly. You trigger the option and you sign him to extension before he plays the option year. Right. But he's still on the 50-year option in that season.
I mean, maybe, but he'll be on a mass. It's not going to be a CJ Stroud, Bryce Young situation that we're about to enter here. Right. Well, I guess they're
I was trying to compliment
years.
Him, Graver. I was trying to say there will be no doubt by that point they'll have triggered the option.
Sure, and they'll even have triggered a massive extension. Anyway, we're also going to look at head coaches who, in their fourth year with a team, took that team to the Super Bowl. I'm also including a data point that I think is very, very important to include, Justin, and that is, how did those teams do 5 years before they made it to the Super Bowl? Could a team realistically go from 3-14 to Super Bowl contender? Like, not just, oh, they're a contender, but like literally contending in the Super Bowl in five seasons. Is that possible? Does that happen? It happens more than you think, Justin. Let's start with the quarterbacks who have made it to a Super Bowl in their fifth season. I cut it off at 1990. So I went all the way back to 1990, looked at the last 35 seasons of NFL football to see how many quarterbacks made it to a Super Bowl in their fifth season. And the list is here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys did it. I'll quickly just run through who did it. Jim Kelly with the Bills in 1990. Troy Aikman with the Dallas Cowboys in 1993. Steve McNair with the Titans in 1999, in his fifth season in the NFL, made it to the Super Bowl. Interesting. Tom Brady made it to, I believe this was Tom Brady's second or third Super Bowl. He made the Super Bowl in his fifth year. I don't know, that one's kind of wonky. Ben Roethlisberger made it to Super Bowl in his fifth year, but I think that might have been his second Super Bowl appearance as well. So again, a little bit wonkier. If you look at the record, well, we're going to have to throw that one out when we get there, but whatever. Joe Flacco with the Ravens made it to Super Bowl in his fifth season, and Cam Newton with the Panthers made it in his fifth season. The last one, Jalen Hurts, 2024. Now, again, that was Jalen Hurts' second Super Bowl, but Jalen Hurts did make it to and win the Super Bowl in his fifth season as well. Justin, what's interesting about this list is that a lot of these guys were on really bad teams 5 years before they made it to the Super Bowl. The Bills with Jim Kelly. Now, remember, the Bills made it to four consecutive Super Bowls, and they lost all four of them. And one of those happened to come in Jim Kelly's fifth season in the league. But Jim Kelly's rookie year, they went 4-12. Troy Aikman, in his rookie year with the Cowboys, they went 1-15. And they went on to win three Super Bowls over a five-year span, including one of them in Troy Aikman's fifth season in the NFL. Steve McNair, the Titans were 7-5 in McNair's rookie year 5 years before he was drafted, 5 years before they made it to the Super Bowl. But the season before he was drafted, they went 2-14. So you could say it took him maybe one extra year, but also McNair didn't play a lot, before his third season in the league. So you can kind of use it both ways here, but 2-14, 6 years before they made it to the Super Bowl, 14 losses, same as the Titans last year. And if you look at it 6 years before, that's what the Titans were, 14 losses, 6 years, because they've been 3-14 back-to-back seasons. Tom Brady's Patriots went 5-11 his rookie year. Ben Roethlisberger led a 15-1 Steelers team. I don't think he started all 16 games as a rookie, but I remember this being one of the craziest, inject a quarterback onto a great team situations in NFL history, and the Steelers go 15-1. I think they went to the Super Bowl the following season, but they also made it back in 2008, his fifth year. Joe Flacco's Ravens were 11-5, also not a great example, but Cam Newton's Panthers, this is another good one, 6-10 his rookie year, and again, 2-14 the year before that led to them drafting Cam Newton. So, and Jalen Hurts' Eagles, by the way, 4-11-1 his rookie year. I think Carson Wentz played a lot of that season, but Hurts did get in towards the end of the year. I think that was the year that they, everyone got mad that they were tanking at the end with Doug Peterson. I think maybe his final season there. Anyway, another good example. So there's a lot of guys on this list. Now, a handful, sure, the teams were pretty good 5 years before, but plenty of teams that were absolute dumpster fires, just like the Titans have been 5 years before making it to a Super Bowl.
This thing looks phenomenal, by the way. You made this table. This looks so damn good. I think the point of it, the takeaway, is pretty simple. Like, yeah, it's hard to envision the Titans playing in a Super Bowl right now, you know, when they've been 3-14 in back-to-back years. But a lot, like the NFL, life changes fast. There is a cycle, and you're bad, and you rebuild, and you become good if you do it the right way. There are so many examples here. The Bills, the Cowboys were 1-15, and they became a dynasty, right? On the same timeline we're talking about. The Titans can't do it. They literally have done it with Steve McNair in 1999, right? So it's like, and by the way, like, it just goes to show, not all hope is lost. You rebuild the right way, and you can get there. And I'll take it a step further and say, I'm not going to say the Titans are going to be in the Super Bowl in 2020. I'm not going to take it that many steps far, but I'm going to take it this step far and say, Mike Borgonzi is rebuilding this team the right way in a similar manner to how some of those hopeless teams were rebuilt and eventually made it to a Super Bowl. The New England Patriots were 4-13, I think, 2 years ago. I went to the Super Bowl last year. You get a good young quarterback, Cam Ward, Drake May, Steve McNair, Troy Aikman, Jim Kelly, Jalen Hurts, Cam Newton, a lot of those quarterbacks on that list. You get a good young quarterback. You pair that with a really good general manager who's rebuilding the roster the right way, and it can happen. We just gave you a bunch of historical examples that show you it can happen. And again, a lot of those teams were really bad. It wasn't all, you know, the Steelers and the Patriots. There was 1-15, 2-14. It can happen for the Tennessee Titans, and I'll take it a step further. I believe it can happen with Mike Borgonzi and Cam Ward.
And I think another big piece, Justin, because some part, the thing about this equation that is very interesting to me is when you're talking about a fifth-year quarterback and a head coach in his fourth season with the team, that actual pairing both of those things together, right? You're talking about a head coach taking over. If you go back five seasons before, you're talking about the new head coach coming in, and he's got 4 years to get what was a really bad team to a Super Bowl. So let's take a look at the head coaches who made it to a Super Bowl in their fourth season with the team right after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. All right, welcome back, Justin. Yes, you mentioned the quarterback, you mentioned the general manager, but obviously a key component to having a Super Bowl quality team is having a head coach that knows how to pull the right levers and get the most out of his squad and get them to that big game. So here we now put on the screen the fourth-year head coaches. Now, this isn't fourth year as a career necessarily. This is just fourth year with their team head coaches who made it to a Super Bowl. You will notice a little bit of overlap because, again, some dynasty elements going on here. But Jimmy Johnson's Cowboys made it to the Super Bowl three times again in a five-year span. But the year before Jimmy Johnson took over, they were 3-13. And they made it to a Super Bowl in Jimmy Johnson's fourth year with the team. They also made it to a Super Bowl in Troy Aikman's fifth year with the team. But to be clear, those were not the same season. Those were one season apart. But anyway, the point stands. Jimmy Johnson took a 3-13 team and 5 years later had him in the Super Bowl. Bill Cowher did it with the Steelers. They were not quite as bad when he took over that team. But Bill Parcells with the Patriots. So this is a different version of the Patriots because Bill Parcells in 96, this is pre-Tom Brady, this is pre-Bill Belichick. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but he took a team that was 2-14 the year before they hired him, and 5 years later, bang, in the Super Bowl. You got Mike Shanahan's Broncos, who did the same thing. Jim Fossil, the father of Titans special teams coordinator Bones Fossil, took the Giants to the Super Bowl in his fourth season with the team. Bill Belichick, again with the Patriots, took them to the Super Bowl in his fourth season with the team, but this was not the same year that Tom Brady made it in his fifth season. Right. They just happened to make it twice. Tom Coughlin's Giants made it to the Super Bowl and won in his fourth year with the team, coming off he took over a team that had gone 4-12 the previous year. Sean Payton's Saints, the year they won the Super Bowl, that was his fourth year with the team, and he took over a 3-13 team to get there. Mike Tomlin did it with the Steelers. Pete Carroll did it with the Seahawks. And here's where it gets really interesting. Is Nick Sirianni in 2024 took the Eagles to a Super Bowl in his fourth year with the team, in Jalen Hurts' fifth year with the team. It's the only one on this list that has both a fourth-year head coach and a fifth-year quarterback. And again, Sirianni took over a team that was 4-11-1, same as with Jalen Hurts, because it's the same season. Now, the minor caveat here is that they also went to the Super Bowl before. Like, this wasn't
their
first Super
Bowl. Who said the Titans can't go before 2029?
That's what I'm saying. Who's to say 2029 in Nashville or 2030, February 2030 in Nashville, isn't the Titans' second Super Bowl appearance with this head coach quarterback combination? I mean, it's possible. The Eagles show you it's possible. And the Eagles have something else you mentioned, which is a really good GM. Now, we don't know for sure that Mike Borgonzi is a really good GM. All we have is a year and an extra draft and offseason's worth of data. But all signs point to, so far, at least being optimistic about what Mike Borgonzi can do with this team. Now, there's plenty of time for these picks to flame out or for other picks to whatever. We'll see how it all turns out. But as of this moment, I feel pretty confident in Borgonzi's abilities to construct a competitive football team. I think going from bad to competitive is an easier step than going from competitive to Super Bowl worthy. So we'll see if they can take that big step. But again, there are more coaches who made it to the Super Bowl in their fourth year with the team than there were quarterbacks who made it in their fifth season. So, and most of these guys, obviously, if they're in their fourth season and you got the record here 5 seasons prior, that's the season before they took over. If they're taking over, odds are the team had a really bad year and fired their head coach. I mean, sometimes guys walk away, but most of the time when you have a new head coach coming in, it's because the old guy did a terrible job, right? So most of the records, that 5 seasons prior column here, if you're looking at this on YouTube, are pretty in line with where the Titans have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, and you know what I love about that Sirianni-Jalen Hurts example, being the only one that's a fourth-year head coach and a fifth-year quarterback? Like, it happened really recently. Like, you don't believe it can happen? It literally just happened, essentially, yeah. Right? Like, with Sirianni and Hurts. And again, young head coaches, a lot of defensive-minded coaches on this list, by the way, like True. Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick, like a lot of them, right? Mike Tomlin, more so on that side of the ball. So a lot of defensive-minded coaches like Robert Saleh. I also look at a head coach being able to grow with a young quarterback, right? Like, I might mess some of these up, but like Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, Sean Payton and Drew Brees is a very obvious one, Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning there, Belichick and Brady, right? Like, a lot of these examples featured young quarterbacks. That 92 Jimmy Johnson team, I imagine, was already a Troy Aikman team,
I believe.
So Jimmy Johnson, like a lot of young head coaches, defensive-minded head coaches with young quarterbacks that they were able to grow with. Because again, let's be honest, a big reason for the turnarounds here is the quarterback, right? It is because of Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees and Troy Aikman and Eli Manning and like all these guys on this list, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts. Going back to yesterday's episode, believe Cam Ward could become that caliber of quarterback. And it doesn't have to be in year two. We think he's going to take a big step. But by year four, year five, that's when you should really be humming along, have established yourself as one of the best starting quarterbacks in the NFL. If the Titans can capture this magic, Mike Borgonzi, Robert Saleh, Cam Ward, which a lot of these teams on this list had, then yes, they can play in the Super Bowl, the 2029 season, February 2030, in Nashville at new Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, and just some more points of clarification here. Just, you know, more data is always better, right? The Jimmy Johnson year you're seeing here, that was Troy Aikman's fourth year, and then they also made it in Troy Aikman's fifth year. Same thing with Belichick on this list. That was Tom Brady's fourth year, and they also made it in Tom Brady's fifth year. So those guys were on the same timeline, right? Like, they hire Jimmy Johnson, they draft Troy Aikman. They hire Bill Belichick, they draft Tom Brady in the sixth round. You know, Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback at the time. But Nick Sirianni was hired 1 year after Jalen Hurts was drafted. Robert Saleh hired 1 year after Cam Ward drafted. So there are some parallels and some things that are slightly different. Obviously, nothing is going to be exactly the same, but time is a flat circle and repeats itself. And the simulation has run out of different things to concoct. So we just see the same thing over and over again, Justin. And we're going to see it again. We've compared Cam Ward to Steve McNair how many times? Steve McNair goes to the Super Bowl in his fifth season. Can Cam Ward do the same thing? Obviously, that's all TBD. But you mentioned yesterday's episode. We got a comment on yesterday's episode, Justin, talking about Derek and David Carr's podcast, Homegrown, where they went and they broke down Cam Ward film from last year. And honestly, if you haven't watched this yet, you need to go watch it right now. It is an incredible 33-minute breakdown. They start by going through, they said, we're going to do this as if we are the coaches taking over this team now. We're going to look at what Cam Ward did well, what the things that excite us about him, and the coaching points that we would give him. And the things that excite him, I mean, rewatching some of these throws, you forget now, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, the season ended, some of the throws Cam Ward was making are just absolutely incredible. In fact, right after watching this 33-minute breakdown, Justin, last night, trying to fall asleep in my bed, I put on 25 minutes of Cam Ward highlights because I was like, I just want to relive some of these moments. But it's a really good breakdown. And the things that excite you, obviously, that's the best part. It's really cool to see them talking about some of the throws that he made last year. But the coaching points and the detail that these guys go into, I mean, they have such a wealth of knowledge of what it's like to be in an NFL quarterback room and, you know, break down your own tape and point out your flaws and where you can get better and the intricacies of what they notice and what they just know. It, like, I learned a lot about, like, how to evaluate quarterbacks and stuff. Like, incredible video. Highly recommend everybody go watch it.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't watched it, obviously. I didn't know that it existed. You're probably better at knowing that, these things than I am, but I'm 100% going to watch it, and I mean that because I'd love to see those two former NFL quarterbacks breaking down Cam Ward tape, and I imagine they know a lot about quarterback play, so some of the coaching point stuff will be super exciting too. And a bunch, you know, and those guys, like, you know, they had ups and downs, obviously, so they'll know what it's like to be a young quarterback. I would wager Cam Ward played better than both of them as rookies. Maybe not Derek Carr, I think, played pretty well. Derek Carr was really bad, I think, in his rookie year. Weren't they like 2-14 or something like that?
Yeah, Derek Carr, who was a second round pick, right? It's not like, yes, he was a top of the draft guy the way that Cam Ward was. But yeah, his rookie season, let's see.
I want to say he took a big step as a sophomore, actually, now that I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, and that's when he had like an MVP caliber season that, yes, ended with a broken leg, the same year that Marcus Mariota's season ended with a broken,
yes,
leg.
And he so didn't interesting get to play for in Carr, playoffs. Right? Like a guy who was a young quarterback who took a massive step his year two. His brother obviously never hit his stride due to, you know, terrible protection in Houston. Cam Ward sacked 55 times. Like, both of those guys would, I think, would have some really interesting coaching points and talking points about Cam Ward's rookie year and how he can improve this year so that he can get to a Super Bowl by his fifth season in Nashville.
Right. And, you know, the other interesting part about this is that they loved what they saw. They loved what they saw. They said some things. By the time this podcast comes out, I'll have already tweeted this, but I'm planning to tweet something that I think could go mega viral. Derek Carr said that his hot take is that Cam Ward might have the best arm in the NFL. Wow. They see this guy with top five quarterback upside. When they did the coaching points part, they were like, man, these are super easy fundamental fixes, little things that he will learn throughout the course of that he might have already learned from last year. But with Brian Daboll coaching him, they'll definitely be pointing these things out and he'll be taking these necessary steps. Some of his misses, accuracy wise misses, that are more about, like, not even about a mechanics thing. It's more about just like understanding the situation. Like, if a defender's back is to you, you can underthrow that ball. And even if your receiver doesn't make a play, your odds of getting a PI on that kind of throw are much higher when the defender's not even looking at back for the football. So don't sail those, because you don't need to say, like, just little things like that, that I think are, and there's one where he overthrows. We all remember this play. We critiqued the hell out of this play when it happened live. I think it was, I want to say it was Shim DK. Might have been Alec Imanner, though. Running like a really deep post over route, and he was open, and Cam Ward just throws it 3 or 4 yards too high. And Derek Carr's watching this play, and he's like, what you don't know, people who have never played quarterback before, is that right before throwing the ball, Cam Ward has to sort of pull it through, like swipe through away from a defender who's coming to try to knock the ball out of his hands, right? And Derek Carr says, for some reason, I don't know what it does to you mechanically, but every time I did a swipe while I was hitching into my throw, it sailed on me every single time. And you just have to know that if you're throwing off of a swipe like that, that it's going to sail on you. So throw it a little short of where you think it's going. It's like those kind of coaching points. I mean, how would I have, like, people like us, Justin, we've never even think to know something like that. So anyway, really eye-opening, really incredible. And they believe he has the upside to be the kind of quarterback that it would take to reach the Super Bowl in 2029. Bang, run it all the way back around.
You're going to play that clip on Heed the Call for Connor and everyone?
I thought about it, honestly. I thought about, like, should I make this the news drop for our next show, just to, like, without even telling anybody, just to start the conversation again.
Just to drive them crazy, probably. Right. But
and then I'll be like, suddenly, like, I love Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is one of the smartest football analysts. Like, obviously, he's smart. Like, clearly, he knows what he's talking about, right? I mean, come on.
Brilliant, right? Better than those guys do. Would be hilarious to do something like that. I am going to go check out that episode of Homegrown with Derek and David Carr and watch them talk Cam Ward and why he's got a top five arm talent and good enough to get to a Super Bowl in Nashville during the 2029 season, February 2030, which, by the way, will be the third season of new Nissan Stadium, right? Because opening 2027, so 28, 29, which is standard practice around the NFL lately. Like, once a new stadium is opened, they've typically waited, I think, to like that third or fourth year to award that city and that new stadium a Super Bowl. It's exactly what happened in Nashville here. The vote passed 32-0. It was unanimous at the NFL owners' meetings. This city, that stadium, deserves a Super Bowl, and the organization deserves to play in it. We gave you all the historic data on this episode that shows you why it's realistic. You don't believe it now, it can happen by the time 2029 rolls around. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. And remember, we'll be back Friday at 10:30 a.m. Central with our regular Friday live stream, but our first one in a couple weeks since Graver did a super selfish thing and went to get married. We will be back.
And the Titans OTAs on Thursday are open to media. I don't know if there's going to be pressers, but I would imagine if they're open to media that there will be pressers. Hopefully there will be. That should give us a great topic for Friday's live show.
Yes, can't wait for that. So make sure you're back tomorrow for a regular scheduled episode. That's Thursday. And then Friday, you're back here, 10:30 a.m. Central, for the weekly Friday live stream hangout sesh. We're sure Gary Soto is going to be there. Are you? We hope that you are. Until tomorrow, when we're back with another episode, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.